Thanks to the choir for leading us and teaching us that new hymn. One of the expressions we use in life when we go from one difficult situation into another is that we have gone from the frying pan into the fire. And last time we were in Mark's Gospel, we saw the disciples in a small boat caught in a furious squall on Lake Galilee, and they thought they were going to drown until Jesus stood up and calmed the storm. Now as we move into chapter 5, the boat lands on the other side of the lake, and they have now gone from the frying pan into the fire because they have no sooner landed than this demon-possessed man comes flying down the hillside, and you can see him with his hair covered in mud and his eyes are staring and he's naked and he's raging and roaring as he approaches the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have gone from facing the forces of nature in the raw to now facing the devil in the raw as these forces are focused upon this one man. And it is today this encounter, this clash of kingdoms, if you like, that forms the basis for what we find here in Mark chapter 5. So let me look at it today with you under three titles. The first is I want to talk about the victim, and that is the man himself who lived among the tombs, which is a very strange place to live, living in a graveyard. In addition, this man is out of control. Verse 3 says no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. And another feature of the devil being all over this man's life is in verse 5. He's self-harming. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Perhaps enjoying the pain and howling and pushing people away from him. He's disturbed, he's distressed, and he's dangerous, most of all dangerous to himself. And this man, as we come to this today, and I appreciate this is a difficult passage of Scripture for us. It's difficult to speak on. It's difficult for us because we don't come across this sort of thing nowadays, because we live in a day and age when the gospel has come in and much of the darkness is pushed to the side. But go to other countries where the gospel is not as evident and where the power of God has not come through in great ways. And this is very common. Certain parts of the world, in certain countries, you'll find this thing very much to this day. But he is a picture for us of a life being lived under the control of the devil. And still we can draw parallels even in our context. He's living amongst the tombs. There's many people in our society who have a very unhealthy interest in death. The music they listen to, the videos they watch, the clothes maybe they wear, they have a very unhealthy interest in death. And it's common in our modern world, this kind of morbid interest in these things. Or the loss of self-control that this man had. Many a person has no self-control in our world, whether it's their eating or their drinking, whether it's their temper, their spending, their lusts, their mouth talking. They just can't stop passing on gossip. Self-destruct mode very often. And another feature of the devil is this sense of people pushing people away from themselves, hurting themselves and hurting others. This man has no time for other people. People had come and tried to help him. He didn't want anything to do with them. So he lives the life of a loner, separated, cut off from other people. There's no helping him as he lives a lonely, painful, miserable existence with the devil in charge of his life. And yet we're told one astonishing thing about him, and that is when Jesus appeared, he knew exactly who Jesus was. When he saw Jesus from a distance, verse 6 says, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, shouted at the top of his voice, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, swear to God that you won't torture me. His life may have been a mess, but he had really good Bible knowledge. And don't you meet people like that today as well? People who are nowhere with God, very, very far from the kingdom of God. They're living in darkness, and yet they'll be able to quote chapter and verse to you from the Bible. They'll never say a word against God, and they'll maybe even tell you that you need to be saved, while they themselves are living very far from the kingdom of God. You see, Satan has such people in his grip, and Satan is in control of them and walking all over them. They cannot escape his hold. And this man is a victim today. He's the victim of the devil who's in charge of his life, but he's also a picture for us of so many people. And the devil is all over their lives, whether they know it or not. And he holds them in his grip. But secondly, here today we have the victor, because a new power comes into this man's life and confronts him head on, this clash of kingdoms, transforming him. And this power is the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how in verse 2, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him, and he's drawn to Jesus. And as I've hinted at already, this is often the case, that the people who are held in Satan's grip are drawn to Jesus Christ. Christ attracts them. They can't keep away from him. They maybe even shout against him. They're like a moth attracted to the light. They live in the dark, but when the light comes their way, they're drawn to it. And they feel they have to see, they feel they have to know, while all the time being antagonistic and shouting out and opposing Christ. In their hearts, they're drawn to Christ. Many a person is like that. Often it's the person who's coming up with the loudest arguments and being the most antagonistic against the things of God. They're the most interested in the things of God. And so he comes and he shouts these words, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, swear to God that you won't torture me. He knows what's coming. Torture and hell. But Jesus says to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit, or you unclean spirit. And when Jesus asked him his name, he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. A legion was a part of the Roman army. We would call it a regiment. My name is Regiment. Because this wasn't one demon in this man. This was many demons in this man, and it was like an army. A foreign power had occupied him. And because the demons eventually get sent into the herd of pigs and there were 2,000 pigs, it may well have been that there were 2,000 demons in this man. We don't know that, but a Roman legion may have numbered anything up to about 5,000 soldiers. But the point is being made that this man is completely overwhelmed. He is completely occupied by the devil. He has no hope of escape. He has no light at the end of the tunnel. He has no release date from this prison. He is completely in the grip of Satan. And then Jesus says to him, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. And what I love about this is the way it's just so simple. Jesus simply saying, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And we've seen this already in Mark's gospel, the simple word of God transforming lives time after time again. We saw it last week when Jesus stood up in the boat and just said, peace, be still, and the storm died. We saw it in chapter 1 when the leper came and said to Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. We saw it in chapter 2, whenever the man was brought to Jesus by his four friends on a stretcher, and Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And when the man with the withered hand in chapter 3, Jesus just said, "Stretch out your hand," and when he stretched it out, his hand was made whole again. And what is coming across here, and this is a theme of Mark's gospel, is the lordship of Christ, Lord over demons, Lord over disease and sickness, Lord over death. We're coming to that later on in chapter 5. And here is, and last week was Lord of the natural world, but here it's Lord of the demonic world. Just a word. Come out of this man, you evil spirit. The man didn't ask for it. And many's a person has come into a church like this and they maybe didn't ask to come, but maybe someone dragged them along and then they came in and they heard the word of the Lord and their lives were transformed. Didn't even really know what was happening, but their lives were transformed by the power of the word of God. Whenever John Bunyan wrote his famous hymn, "To Be a Pilgrim," it's fallen out of fashion in the church. We don't really sing it anymore. I think I'd only ever sung it once. But when John Bunyan wrote his famous hymn, "To Be a Pilgrim," in his hymn, he describes the saved man who is trusting in the Lord, who has responded to the word of the Lord. And this is how verse 3 goes. The language is a bit dated, but it makes the point. "Hobgoblin nor foul fiend can daunt his spirit. He knows he at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away. He'll fear not what man say. He'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim." And this man in Mark chapter 5, having met with the word of the Lord, inside him are hobgoblins and foul fiends and all sorts of demons. But when the word of Jesus comes to him and clashes, it's the devil who has to retreat. And it's this man who is rescued by the word of Christ. But they have a request before they leave in verse 12. The demons beg Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission. That was appropriate because pigs were unclean. So unclean spirits are asking, can they go in amongst the unclean animals? And Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. You know, on TV, they show a trailer for a program that's coming up or a film that's coming up, just to get you interested, and it's maybe a minute or two, and you watch it and you think, oh, I'll have to watch that. This is a trailer for what's coming for the devil and his demons. Because whenever Jesus sends them into the pigs and the pigs run down the steep bank into the lake and are drowned, this is a foretaste of the destruction of the devil that is coming and of the demons and of all those that disobey God. There's a warning here in this passage. Because the victor has come. Jesus is the one who is all victorious, who is triumphant. And he is the one who is Lord. And those who will refuse to bow to his lordship, destruction will come to them. And these demons going into these pigs and rushing down the steep bank into the lake and being drowned is a warning to us that if we disobey God, we too shall perish. So the victim, the victor who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and lastly, the vocation. For this man now has a vocation set before him in verse 15. Because the people, when they came to Jesus and saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, they were afraid. This takes me back to last week, if you were here, when Jesus stilled the storm. The people were more afraid of Jesus than they had been afraid of the storm. And here they come, the men who had been keeping the pigs, the keepers of the pigs. They had gone into the city and they'd reported what had happened to the pigs. And you can imagine the owners with a herd of 2,000 pigs weren't too happy. Profits were going to be down that year. But for Jesus Christ, the soul of one man was more precious than a herd of pigs. The soul of this man was more important than making money. Your soul's more important than making money. Your soul's more important than an animal. And when they heard how it had all come about with Jesus just speaking a word, and there was the man sitting there dressed and in his right mind, they were afraid of Jesus. We have tried chains and fetters. And he's broken the chains and he's broken. Maybe the man was standing there and there was a fetter on each wrist and just a couple of links of the chain hanging. Because he had broken them. And here's Christ has broken the power of Satan in his life. And the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Is that not tragic? More interested in seals than in souls. And these town folk, they just beg Jesus to go away. They prefer the darkness to the light. They prefer the animals to the authority of God. They prefer the devil to the dwelling place of God in Jesus Christ. But Jesus says to the man, he says, he wants to come with Jesus. No wonder he wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said to him, you can't come with me, he said, but go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus wanted the man to go and be the witness. They didn't want Jesus, but Jesus said, well, I want you to go and tell them about me. Decapolis means, in Greek, deca is the word for 10. Polis is the word for city. It was an area of 10 cities. It was quite a population center. And Jesus didn't want that population center to be without a witness. So he said to the man, go you and tell them of what the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. You go and be the witness now. They don't want me, but you go and tell them about me. That's his vocation. This man has been transformed, and Jesus now wants him to witness. As Jesus said to disciples in Acts chapter 1, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. And that's the vocation of every single one of us who calls ourselves a Christian, to talk about Jesus. To tell our friends and neighbors, our colleagues at work, our school friends about Jesus. Of his person, of his acts, of his work in me, saving me from my sin. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. That's your vocation. As I end today, someone has said, God forms a man. Sin deforms a man. Society informs a man, but Christ transforms a man. And that's what's going on here. The transformation of Jesus Christ in a life that was lived under the power of the devil. Can I ask you today as we close, has your life been transformed? Have you been sprung from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light? From the grip of the devil into the hand of God? Have you been transformed? Because this passage is here for us today, that we would see the transformation that Jesus Christ brings. This man sitting and dressed and in his right mind. The first time maybe in his life, he's in his right mind because he's seen the Lord. He's discovered the power of God and he's met with Jesus Christ. That's where you find your right mind. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this record of this meeting with Jesus on the Gadarene side of Lake Galilee. And Father, in some ways it's a frightening story because it shows us of the extreme end of the devil's work in a life. And yet it's a warning to us that the devil is a power and is at work, and our lives are lived, Father, until you work under his influence. Help us, we pray, Father, to remember and to see in this passage that Jesus came to set the captives free, that Jesus came to release us, and we thank you that he does that by the power of his word, and we pray for that word to have its free reign in each and every one of our lives. For these things we ask and pray to the glory of Christ who transforms lives. Amen.